This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. According to AAA, gas prices reached a peak on April 28th of last year, when the average price per gallon of regular was $3.70. As of yesterday, the national average is $2.10. So we asked a few Vermonters how these lower prices have affected them.
Hi, I'm Justin from Essex Junction, Vermont. At this point per week, I'd say I'm saving $20 plus on gas. That's going right into savings for my daughter. At this point, it hasn't affected taking any long trips or, you know, being in my car much longer than I normally am.
Ryan, South Burlington. I'm in sales, so I'm in my car a lot driving around, so filling up a couple times a week. It's definitely made it easier on the wallet. I would say about $50 a week, give or take.
I'm Sarah Jane, and I'm from Jericho, Vermont. We've just been traveling after the holidays and noticed that across the country, gas prices seem to be a lot lower than they are in Vermont. So it's nice to see that we're starting to drop a little too. Since we live in Jericho and work in Burlington, don't really have a choice about how much we use our car and buy gas.
Despite the drop in price, Vermont has the sixth highest gas prices in the country, behind Hawaii, Alaska, New York, California, and D.C. And within the state, drivers see wide disparities, with prices as low as $2.15 a gallon in parts of the Northeast Kingdom. And in Chittenden County, prices are hovering around the $2.50-$2.55 mark. During the campaign season, progressive candidate for Lieutenant Governor Dean Corin called attention to that disparity.
Burlington was higher than the statewide average, not just the U.S., but the statewide average, 72% of the time. St. Albans prices exceeded both the U.S. and statewide average 90% of the time.
So what gives? Why are prices so much higher in Vermont, and specifically in Chittenden, Grand Isle, and Franklin counties? Well, we're going to take a look at that today, as well as explain what goes into the regional pricing we see. And we know a lot of you are thinking about gas prices. We put a Facebook post on the VPR page last night, and there are already almost 60 comments. So you can continue the conversation there, or call if you have a question about pricing. Our number is 1-800-639-2211. That's 1-800-639-2211. We're joined now by Patrick DeHaan, Senior Petroleum Analyst of the Midwest and East Coast for GasBuddy.com. He's on the line from Chicago. Patrick, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
And here in the studio with me is Joe Chiquette, Public Affairs Advisor for the Vermont Petroleum Association. Nice to have you back, Joe.
Good afternoon, Jane.
All right. So, Patrick DeHaan, give me the most up-to-date, accurate average price you have for the country right this minute.
Well, we're looking at a national average that has continued to decline at this point. At the day, we're looking at about $2.09 a gallon. It's down another fraction of a penny overnight. Continues to go down.
And what about for Vermont?
Vermont, we're looking at a statewide average of $2.50, about $1.05 a gallon lower than it was a year ago.
Vermont, as I said, is at the high end of gas prices around the country. What's at the low end in terms of state averages?
Well, generally, the Rust Belt right now, where states are enjoying close proximity to major infrastructure, areas like Oklahoma, Missouri, that have very low gasoline taxes and are very close to major pipelines, major refining sector, and they're all hooked up via pipeline, and that keeps prices down.
All right, so not to make Vermonters feel bad, but what are people paying at the pump there in places like Oklahoma?
Right now, Oklahoma's statewide average is just $1.79, Missouri $1.73. In fact, one station this morning in Tomball, Texas, gas prices for a cash price were just $1.44 a gallon.
I wish you could see the faces of all of the people in our control room right now, Patrick, because it's like googly eyes thinking about what those prices are. Certainly no Vermonters are seeing those prices. Joe Chiquette, can you just talk a little bit about some of the factors that go into why different states have different prices, not particularly Vermont, but what goes into pricing?
Well, as Patrick mentioned, the different areas of the state are closer to refineries, or the refineries in that area refine a different grade of crude oil. In the Northeast, we're more dependent on Northeast refineries that burn or essentially refine Brent crude, which is a more expensive grade of crude oil. So, now, there's differences in transportation, access to the market, crude oil grades, and so on and so forth. So the different areas of the country, in general, the East Coast and the far West Coast tend to be, have higher prices than the middle part of the country. But that's they're all generalities, and there's individual variations across the country and across the state.
Patrick, anything to add to that?
I completely agree. Not only are Vermont's gasoline taxes a bit higher, but that's the major difference, is that the entire Northeast, not just Vermont, is a bit on a perch over the rest of the country. The spot price for gasoline for the entire Northeast is quite a bit higher than what the rest of the country is enjoying. Because of that more expensive crude oil, Northeast is generally a place where there are not a whole lot of crude pipelines, and there's certainly no access in the Northeast for refineries to pipe in that very, very cheap Canadian crude, some of which today is under $30 a barrel. That means Vermonters and the refineries in the Northeast are stuck relying on that $50 a barrel Brent crude that is imported.
And Joe Chiquette, is it just the price of crude oil that's going into gasoline prices? We're seeing that price drop, as Patrick said, some places under $30 a barrel. Is that the only factor that goes into whether or not you see your gas prices at the pump rising and falling?
No, because each individual merchant sets the price at the pump. So an individual merchant is going to take into account what he or she had to pay for gasoline, when he or she might get another load, whether the prices are rising or falling, whether the station's been profitable, who they have to pay, what taxes are. So there are a lot of factors that go into a local decision. But ultimately, on the street, the price is set by the dealer that owns the location.
We're going to get into some listener calls and comments, because, as I said, a lot of people want to get in on this conversation. But we were looking at some of the costs here. And the rack rate, the average for a gallon of regular gas from the Albany terminal as of the 13th, so just a couple days ago, was $1.37. And at the Burlington terminal, the rack average was $1.43. Patrick DeHaan, so the actual price that Vermonters are paying is about $1 more than that, give or take some cents. Mm-hmm. So as Joe was mentioning, you know, there are other factors that go into the pricing, including what a retailer wants to make for a profit. But taxes also go into it. Other factors that up that by a dollar?
I would say not certainly just taxes, but a myriad of other factors. And that's one of the biggest discrepancies. You know, certainly the situation would be much different if a major pipeline from Canada ran to those Northeast refineries and supplied them with a far cheaper crude oil. But that's one of the major differences state to state. In fact, a major example is your neighbor New York has an average tax combined of about 69 cents per gallon. In New Jersey, just south of it, and if you cross the state line, you'll notice New Jersey's tax is only 33 cents a gallon. So just by crossing a state line, you can get a 33 cent a gallon difference. And in Vermont, taxes combined to about 50 cents a gallon, so still relatively high. That's a bit higher than what the 50 states average out to, which is about 48.5 cents a gallon. But certainly two major issues in my mind are what causing prices in Vermont to be higher than the national average, certainly away from key infrastructure. And there's only one wholesale terminal in the state. There's perhaps a little bit less competition, and that's really the only way we could undo this, is if we brought a major pipeline in, if the refineries were closer, and that's certainly not an easy thing to do.
We talked yesterday with Chris Cole at V-Trans about Vermont taxes and how the tax rate is set, and he gave us a little bit of information. He said the state tax, used to be 19 cents per gallon, and the new method went into effect last July. Now there's a base of 12.1 cents per gallon plus 4% of the retail price. So, and that 4%, there's a ceiling and a floor with a base of 13.4 cents and a ceiling of 18 cents. So basically, state taxes can be as low as 25.5 cents per gallon and as high as just over 30 cents per gallon, depending on the price of gas. And Patrick, when you talk about taxes in Vermont getting up to the 50 cent range, you're including the federal gas tax in that?
That's right. Those were combined local, state, and federal gas taxes.
So, Joe Chiquette, can local counties or town governments also levy a tax on gasoline?
Not currently. No, the gas tax is a function of the federal government and state government.
So that's anybody in Vermont is only paying state and federal taxes on that gas.
That's correct. And there are legitimate policy reasons for that, because the state needs to have the ability to raise revenue to repair and build roads and bridges. And allowing local communities to enact a tax would reduce their flexibility to do so.
All right. We are talking today about gas prices. We're trying to give you a little bit of an explainer about how gas prices are set around the country and then why they vary by region and within the state of Vermont, why they might vary so much. We're going to get into that as well, because I know a lot of Vermonters have a lot to say on that topic. And if you have a question, you want to clarify something, you can call 1-800-639-2211. Again, our number is 1-800-639-2211. You can also post what you're paying at the pump on the Vermont Edition Facebook page or add a comment there. Elizabeth says, if you check Northeast Kingdom prices on Gas Buddy, you'll find them considerably above the two $2.15 locations. I'm amazed at the price variation up and down the state. Randolph is more expensive than Northfield and Montpelier and way more expensive than Woodstock or Hartford, likely thanks to New Hampshire competition. Elizabeth says, GasBuddy.com and gas discount cards are my new BFFs. Jerry in Essex says, I recently bought a hybrid vehicle, which gets 40 miles per gallon. Coupled with the lower price of gasoline, I'm spending less and feeling better about it. What am I doing with the gas money surplus? Spending it on groceries. And let's go to Lynn, who's calling in from Burlington. Hi, Lynn. You're on.
Hi there. I was in Michigan over the holiday. Michigan's a large state. It's about 15 hours from top to bottom. And I was up in the northern part, which is, you know, closer to Canada and arguably much harder to get to from the kind of the pipeline. And even there, I was only paying $1.80 a gallon of gas. And so I have to say, coming back to Burlington and, you know, getting faced with not only the sticker shock of that, but then these high property taxes, it's like, I love Vermont and I want to stay in Vermont, but I need to be able to afford to stay in Vermont. And things like that, high gas prices and high property taxes just don't make it very easy. So I just wanted to throw that out there.
Yeah, Lynn, I appreciate hearing from you. Thanks for your perspective. Other listeners on Facebook are telling us what they're doing with some of the money they are saving at the gas pump. Jake says he's paying off the credit card from Christmas earlier, and the rest are going into savings and for home repairs. He says we're going to be able to replace more windows this year than we thought. Marion said she's putting it away because we all know something is awry. Kathy in Randolph Center says, I've pared my driving down so much that the savings don't really amount to much. Shannon in Burlington, I feel less guilty about taking my newborn on rides to help her sleep. From Jeremy, well, since food keeps going up, even though gas is going down, you can't have your cake and fill it too, I suppose. Shannon in Sheldon posted, I'm paying my bills with the savings. Hope it continues. Robert in Warren, oh, just shopping, 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 and consuming like a good American. And then Daria in Williston says, ask me again when our Chittenden County stations stop gouging us. We are consistently among the highest prices in the country. So let's focus in on that a little bit. I do want to point out that from this time last year, people in Burlington and Chittenden County are paying about a dollar less than they were at this time last year. So the price has dropped. But Joe Chiquette, not as much as other parts of the state and not as much as the national average. Why not?
That's true. There's been a sort of a division since they started dropping in May, April, May. And I'm looking at the chart of national prices, Vermont prices, and Burlington prices, and it's continued to separate, I guess, over time. You know, there's no single factor, and I have to explain what the phenomenon is of as many as 67 dealers in this market setting prices and thousands of consumers not going to the station with the lowest price. Because if you look on Gas Buddy today, and we all did, the difference between the low gas price in Burlington and the high gas price in Burlington is 20 cents a gallon. I've often said if everybody goes to the place with the lowest price, they're all going to come down, because the dealers out there are competing for market share. And if they're no longer selling gasoline, getting you through the door to buy a cup of coffee or a loaf of bread, they're going to have to reduce their price, and others will do the same.
Patrick DeHaan, jump in there. Do you think that's true, that competition is the main factor here in terms of regional pricing, where all other things remain mostly the same?
Oh, certainly. Competition's a major factor. You look at a big city like St. Louis, where there's just one of the most perhaps aggressive cities in the country, most competitive markets in the country. Prices there drop far faster than anywhere else. It's because healthy competition exists. It's because instead of having just a few stations in a town or, you know, perhaps a dozen or two, there's perhaps more diversity in St. Louis, different owners, different brands, all competing each other against each other to bring that customer through the door. And that's really the biggest deal here is most of the money is not made at the pump. Most of the money is made inside. And if you have that higher pump price, it's going to bring people not over, only away from your station, but they're not going to go inside. So by having a lower price, you may be losing, you know, out on a chance to make more money, but people are coming into the station. And where there's more competition, obviously prices are lower. If there's only, you know, a couple stations in a town, there's not a very high level of competition because there's only a few different options for consumers, for motorists to go to. And stations will keep their prices perhaps a little bit higher. Maybe they're not selling as much gasoline either. But where there are more stations, prices generally come down more. There's more of a chance that one of those stations is going to be aggressive in bringing their price down.
Joe Chiquette, we got a note from Carl in Williston who says, I have noticed gas prices are consistently higher in the Burlington area. Fortunately or unfortunately, I travel enough so that I can fill up in less expensive areas. I also understand that businesses are free to charge whatever they want for their product. What is illegal, though, is to collude on setting prices. With just a couple of businesses controlling the majority of gas stations in the Burlington area, I'm suspicious about collusion. Can you address Carl's concern? It's certainly not one that he's alone in thinking about.
Well, if anybody's doing anything illegal, then the Attorney General should pursue them and prosecute them. There are at least in the Chittenden County area, according to the National Association of Convenience Stores, there are 105 gas stations, of which 61 are independently owned. So in other words, there's an individual dealer there buying from a distributor and setting the price at the station. There are 40.
So that's not just franchisees who have some contract that they have to follow. They can choose how and where they want to get their gasoline.
They probably have a wholesale contract with a distributor.
But they've chosen that, is my point. It's not somebody telling them to choose that.
That's right.
Okay.
And then there are 44 that are owned by distributors or franchise groups that own four or more stations. So, and of those, we've identified seven distributors that are in that group. So what that means is that you add that up, that means that at least 68 individuals are making decisions on gas prices here in Chittenden County every day.
Well, we've got a couple of listeners who want to weigh in on that while we're on that topic. Dave's calling in from Enosburg Falls. Hi, Dave. Go ahead.
Yes. Well, the way I see the prices up here is being caused by monopolies held by people that own the business, like Jolly's or Valley's, and of course they own most of the gas stations within a certain area, and so you either buy and pay their price or you have to travel someplace else. Now I can go on the other side of Jay, which is only about a 30-mile trip for me, and I can fill up with gas over there a whole lot cheaper than I can on this side of the mountain. And I can't understand that. I think it's a monopoly in these areas, and that's why we're paying these higher prices. But I do appreciate the fact that gas has gone down. Thank you.
Yeah, Dave, thanks for your comment. I appreciate your weighing in there. Let's go to Bob in Essex. Hi, Bob. Go ahead.
Well, I'd like to echo the comments by others in terms of the collusion concern. The fact is that there are two major distributors in northwestern Vermont. One of them has already been named Valley, and the other is the Cairns family with Champlain Oil, I believe. And, you know, the Free Press recently ran an article that indicated that their profit margins annually were twice the national average for fuel distributors. And you can take Mr. Chiquette's comments that, well, you know, all these stations are independently owned, but they all buy from a large distributor. So I can't prove collusion, but it certainly is suspicious. And it's also very interesting that Mr. Valley is currently in environmental court opposing the efforts by Costco to put in a big new station, which would sit next door to one of his operations in Colchester. Costco, there are facts nationally, figures that indicate when they go in with a new large station, prices come down in the area. They're a major discount gas seller. So, you know, take it what you will, but I think the real issue we need to discuss here is the monopoly amongst the two major distributors in northwestern Vermont.
Yeah, Bob, thanks for your comments. We should say usually Costco, the prices are about 20 cents a gallon lower. And we got a note from Winston who says, let's get Costco approval to install a large gas station in Colchester and get some real competition in Chittenden County on gas prices. We'll soon be down to the price levels that can be seen in non-Chittenden County areas of the state. So, Joe Chiquette, can you address those concerns that Dave, Bob, and Winston have raised?
Well, as I mentioned, there are seven distributors serving this market, and that's not two. There are seven. And they're selling to 61 independent gasoline station dealers who are setting the price. So if anybody is doing anything illegal, the Attorney General should pursue them. But in the absence of that, competition for the lowest price doesn't mean you're going to get bargain prices. It means that, you know, that the prices are going to, you know, be as at a point where the market will bear. So in the Connecticut River Valley, where we have a common border with New Hampshire, taxes are 8 cents a gallon lower. And so the stations on the New Hampshire side of the border have a significant advantage. And that's, you know, one reason why if you look at Brattleboro and you look at White River Junction, where the prices on the Vermont side of the border are much lower because there's very intense competition across the river there. Having said that, what the effect of that has been that in the Connecticut River Valley, we've lost a number of stations in the last couple of years to the tax competition.
We are talking today about gas prices. We're looking at why they vary around the country and even within the state of Vermont, what factors go into that price variation. And we're hearing from many of you. If you want to tell us what you're paying at the pump, you can post on the Vermont Edition Facebook page. You can also tell us maybe what you're doing with some of the savings you've seen, gas down about a dollar in Vermont from last year at this time. Or if you have a question about what goes into pricing gas, you can call 1-800-639-2211. I'm Jane Lindholm, and this is Vermont Edition. Today, we are looking at the price of gas, what goes into determining the price regionally, and why it's so markedly different across various counties and towns throughout Vermont. We're hearing from many of you, so if you have a question about gas prices, you can give us a call at 1-800-639-2211. You can also share what you're paying for gas where by going to the Vermont Edition Facebook page. We're talking with Patrick DeHaan, Senior Petroleum Analyst of the Midwest and East Coast, for GasBuddy.com, and Joe Chiquette, Public Affairs Advisor for the Vermont Petroleum Association. And we're hearing from a lot of you as well. Richard in Wells River says monopolies and lack of competition are two reasons why gas prices are high in some region. Once upon a time in Wells River, there were five gas stations within sight of each other. Today, the one remaining gas outlet, you have to be a member of their gas club. Echoing what Joe Chiquette was talking about earlier with some changes in the number of gas stations and how they deal with competition across state lines. Al says, yesterday I was in Wethersfield and the gas station right off the exit was showing a gas price of $2.22. Just across the river in Claremont, New Hampshire, the lowest price I saw was $2.15. Only 1 week ago, I filled my tank at the station in Bradford at $2.65. I live closer to Bradford and I'm not happy about the apparent price gouging. Last spring, when I went on a road trip, I filled up my tank for $3.69, and in a few days, I was in East Tennessee, and the price there was $3.10. I've noticed that as soon as I get out of New England and New York, the price of gas is significantly lower, no matter what the price is here. Please tell me I'm not just lining the pockets of the jobbers here. And let's go to Michael, who's calling in from Newbury. Hi, Michael. You're on the air.
Hello there. I work for an oil company who delivers fuel. Won't say the name because I'm on the job. I live in the Connecticut River Valley here, and despite some of the comments,
oh, Michael, call back. We're going to see if we can get you on a better line. I'm not able to hear you, but I'd love to hear your perspective there working for a gas company. Let's take a look at this email we got from Tim in St. Albans while we see if we can get Michael lined up again on a better line. Tim says there should be a law where everyone pays the same amount per gallon in the whole United States. Patrick DeHaan, is there any appetite for that kind of proposal?
Probably not a whole lot, especially for motorists that are in Oklahoma and Missouri and are paying $1.44. The truth of the matter is the situation in every state is different. I think that the major difference here that we've talked about in the Northeast, I'm looking at my national crude oil pipeline map. There's just not a whole lot of crude pipelines that are running along the East Coast, and you just don't have access to the cheaper oil that a lot of the other areas of the country do. If you did, if there was a pipeline to be built that hooked up those refineries in New Jersey and Delaware and New York area, we'd be talking about an entire different ballgame. And, you know, I'd be kind of interested to hear what folks think about building a pipeline from Canada to New York. I mean, that certainly would be one aspect of it. But it's certainly unlikely that a whole lot of motorists around the country would be willing to say a one-size-fits-all approach for oil and gasoline prices.
We got a note from Evan in Essex Junction who wants to know how the distance from refineries or terminals influences our cost if we get fuel from Montreal. Can you address that, Patrick?
Well, Montreal is a little bit of a different beast, and so is Canada. Prices up there are quite a bit less competitive, I would say. Imperial Oil runs much of Canada's refineries, infrastructures. They have many stations. And so prices in Canada tend to be a bit higher because of less competition. It's kind of funny that we're talking about how little competition the U.S. might have, or at least in areas of Vermont, when in Canada it's even much worse. Again, the finished product likely being supplied via truck, if it even is. I don't notice, I can't say I don't know what the rack prices are in Montreal, but looking at it, so I wouldn't be able to give you kind of a clear, concise answer that, you know, it's this much more in Montreal. But certainly there's another option there, is that gasoline from Vermont can not only come from the rack on the state, and it likely is supplied, the market is likely supplied at least a bit by that refinery. So, you know, more refineries, more pipelines certainly would help bring prices down.
Yeah, and listeners, you know, Patrick Jahan just said he'd love to know thoughts on what you would think about lowering the price by building a pipeline through our region. So we're going to put a little post up on the Vermont Edition Facebook page right now and ask that question, and we'd love to hear your responses. Maybe we can put it in a mailbag segment. What do you think? If you want gas prices lower, would you be willing to have a pipeline built here? Interesting question, interesting conversation. Let's go to Michael, who's back with us, I believe, from Newbury. Hi, Michael. Let's try you again. Go ahead.
Hello. See ya.
Hi, I hear you. Go ahead.
I climbed up on top of my work truck so you could hear me better.
Oh, good.
We have good cell service here as we do gas prices. I live in Newbury, Connecticut River Valley, commenting on some of the comments. Same oil company services tank from both sides of the river, Vermont, New Hampshire. The price is relatively the same. Within 30 miles, you can get a 20-plus cent price difference around here. Even though the oil comes out of the same well, the same distributors are delivering it. The price of Coke's the same in all the stores. The employees get paid low wages the same. Talked about competition, but I hate to say it, you got to remember the greed factor that the oil industry has. I shouldn't say that because I work for them, but it's a job, and jobs are few and far between. When you have to shop around for gas prices and you drive 15, 20, 30 miles one way to work a day, you don't have the time or the energy at the end of a 9, 10-hour day to go shopping for those prices. I've known distributors that have owned two stations in town and jumped the price back and forth because they know it'll be lower, so if somebody can go to one station one day and the other station the next, they'll still get the business. So that's my comment. A lot of good comments out there. I think there's a certain green factor associated with the oil industry, and there's not much us consumers can do about it.
Michael, thanks for your call. I appreciate it, and thanks for jumping on the top of your service truck to make sure that you had a better signal. Joe Chiquette, what about that issue of greed? And, you know, I think it's important to think about that also in the context of these are businesses that are trying to make money, and that's the, you know, that's the way our economy and our economy is set up. But I will say Burlington is number one in the region right now in terms of gross margin per gallon at about 66.4 cents per gallon. And it's number two in the country, second only to Casper, Wyoming. The national average margin is 28.8 cents. So what about, Michael, was saying that greed factor?
Well, the margins will go up and go down. And there are times when the margins are zero, as they are in the Connecticut River Valley. And there are times in Burlington, believe it or not, when the margins are zero and some of the dealers out on the street aren't making money or are losing money.
That's typically when the price is very high, right?
When the price is high, yeah.
You're trying then to get people in to buy a Coke or buy a cup of coffee and make some money off that, but you're not, you're using gas as a loss leader in that case, right?
And believe it or not, it's harder to raise prices than it is to lower them. Yeah, I mean, that is the fact. And, you know, I know that folks don't want to hear this, but But that's the fact. And an earlier caller mentioned the high property taxes in Vermont. High property taxes aren't only an issue for homeowners. They're also an issue for business owners. So some of the price factors in Vermont are likely to be higher than they are in other areas. Now, another thing.
Let me just keep us on this topic now, because you said sometimes that profit margin is at zero. And that's definitely true. But that's often true across the country, that most gas station owners are feeling that pinch when prices are really high. Right now, what we're seeing in terms of that gross margin is that Burlington's gross margin is more than double the national average. So it's not the same that everybody's squeezed when the prices are high and everybody's making about the same amount of money when the prices are low. It looks like owners in Burlington are making quite a bit more money than their contemporaries in other parts of the country.
Certainly their gross margins are higher than other places in the country. That's true.
So what's to explain that? Just that's what the market will bear again?
It is what the market will bear. 67 or more individual business owners are making decisions about what they're going to put out on the street. You know, one thing about gasoline prices that's not true of milk or bread or anything else is that we posted on 5x12 signs on 14-foot poles for you to look at when you go by. So other commodities, I think, operate in a similar way. Certainly gasoline is something that people need and they pay attention to the prices. But it's very transparent that you can drive down the street and see what everybody is charging that day.
Sure, assuming you have the ability to drive around and look for the best price, of course.
And if not, you can go on GasBuddy and do a search like we all did and see that there's a 20-cent difference between Riverside Ave and Shelburne Road today.
Let's go to Joe calling in from Montpelier. Hi, Joe. Go ahead.
Hi.
Hi.
I think that higher gas prices are a good thing for us, and I can make my case. I think there's many people who could do so, but will never be willing to ever even slightly change their lifestyle by trying a more efficient car, a hybrid, electric car, carpooling, or public transit. They just won't go there until they have to.
So you see these low prices and see people going back to habits that you think they perhaps shouldn't have?
Oh, yeah. And I see this through an environmental perspective. If we're going to do anything about climate change or solving the energy problem, switching to renewables, you know, we got to get serious about it. And, you know, cheaper gas just brings back bad habits.
Yeah, Joe, looking at this from an environmental perspective, saying maybe these low prices aren't so good. Higher gas prices perhaps affect behavior in a different way. Let's go to Paul calling in from Newbury. Hi, Paul.
Hey, Jamie, thanks for having the show. I think this is a really important topic. I have a small company, and we run a fleet of trucks, and we're all over the state servicing some state sites. And I see a lot of gas prices in different regions, and certain distributors in Vermont seem to own a lot of the retail operations, Champlain Oil, et cetera, Jiffy Mart, Coco Mart, and services are all owned under Champlain Oil. And it clearly seems to be a regional monopoly in certain areas where it's 30, 40 cents more. And it gets back to that idea of margins. Let's just talk about it as greed, because it seems like that is what it is. Because if one station is 30 miles away, can add 30 cents because there's more competition, isn't that greed in itself to take more than they should and take out of the pockets of everyday Vermonters and business owners?
But, Paul, isn't that capitalism? If the market will bear it, isn't that capitalism?
But we're stuck in the places that we have to buy our fuel. We can't travel 50 miles to get a better price. We have to buy fuel to operate our businesses and take our children to school. So shouldn't they understand that as part of a community and a business, that you don't keep taking too much to the point where it's taken out of people's pockets and their livelihoods?
Yeah, Paul, I take your point, and I want to put that to Patrick DeHaan, because you think about this a lot from a national perspective. What do you think about people like Paul from Newbury?
Well, of course, gasoline is something that we all need on a daily basis. There's really nothing you can do. You know, having said that about, you know, picking our kids up from school, I can't really comment on that. I was one that actually walked 35 minutes to my school in neighborhoods that probably were less than ideal. All you can do as a consumer is certainly you try and reduce demand as much as you can on your own. And if that's too much, if that becomes too costly,
obviously something needs to be done there to not only reduce demand. We can't all just point the fingers at you know, someone else. As much as I'd like to say, you know, oil companies, darn you, why are you bleeding me dry? Well, it's also my choice that I'm driving everywhere that I'm driving. I just came back from Wisconsin. It was my choice that I drove up there, and I accepted the fact that gas prices were high. And that's why, you know, a site like GasBuddy exists, because after a while I got tired of paying a higher price and not knowing what other stations were charging. And that's why GasBuddy has become so popular, because yes, we all need gasoline, but it's up to you what you want to pay. And a lot of the time, especially in Vermont, you'll see a wide variety of prices. And obviously at GasBuddy, our mission is to help motorists find those cheaper prices.
That's Patrick DeHaan, Senior Petroleum Analyst of the Midwest and East Coast for GasBuddy.com. Thanks very much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Joe Chiquette, I'll give you the last word here as we think about gas prices. You're hearing, you know, a lot of people pretty pleased to see lower gas prices in terms of how it affects their budget, but some anger, some frustration, and some confusion.
And prices are coming down, but we encourage people to shop around. If price is is what you want, if you want a lower price, then shop for the lower price. People don't necessarily do that. They have rewards cards. They get discounts for having a credit card. Different things that people do. But if price
or
is
complicated
important,
lives that don't allow them to drive around, even in places where there may be competition, we're assuming that people have the ability to go.
Well, you don't have to go very far. You know, the difference between Riverside Avenue and Shelburne Road is not very much.
If you live in Burlington.
If you live in Burlington. And similar market factors exist elsewhere.
That's Joe Chiquette. He's Public Affairs Advisor for the Vermont Petroleum Association. Joe, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Coming up on the program, a new report shows a lot of men in Vermont are unemployed, way more than the statewide unemployment figures suggest. We'll talk to Vermont's Labor Commissioner about why and what that might mean next on Vermont Edition. Welcome back to Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. Using census data, a recent report by the New York Times showed that a significant portion of men ages 25 to 54 are not working. Rates of unemployment for these so-called prime-aged men are particularly high in several Vermont counties. But not everyone thinks the Times data paints an accurate or full picture. Labor Commissioner Annie Noonan is among them, and she joins us now. Commissioner Noonan, welcome back to the program.
Hi.
So the New York Times data showed that nationwide, 16% of prime-age men are not working. But in Newport, 55% aren't working. In Springfield, 47% aren't working. And in parts of Burlington, up to 37% of these prime-aged men are not working. What do you make of this?
Well, the data that was relied upon is U.S. census data, and it's from a very small sample, very detailed. And so it does capture some data that coincides with what the Department of Labor believes are pockets of concern in terms of employment. But it's really at a very small small data sample level. So, for example, when we look at that data versus what we're looking at for, like, Newport City, which might show 6.4%, it also
6.4% unemployment.
Unemployment. We basically have 130 unemployed people. So it kind of can show you that if you're pulling data at a very small sample level, that it really can skew it. So, for example, if they were looking at areas of Burlington and they were canvassing through or calling through an area where you have a lot of student population, you're going to basically get a lot of people who are saying they're not working, but they're not unemployed because they're really not looking for work. And the second point is that data sample was drawn from a period of time from 2008 to 2013, which of course captured some of the worst economic years in Vermont. So really, we didn't come back to a stable point in the economy in Vermont till 2011, and then the growth areas started in 2012 and 13. So it's capturing a five-year period that we all know included some of the worst economic years in Vermont.
Yes, and we should point out that the data they're using, as you said, if there are students are counted as not working in
Correct.
This population.
Retirees are counted as not working.
Stay-at-home dads,
exactly. So basically, you know, what they're looking at was basically people who were not working, but that wasn't the same as basically saying they were looking at people who are unemployed. Because unemployed as a measure is basically people who are saying, I don't have work, but I want work, I'm available for work, and, you know, can accept work. So the measures are very different.
Nonetheless, you said that this data does capture some areas that are also of concern to the Vermont Department of Labor. Can you talk about a few of them?
Sure. Sure. I mean, we would like to see all areas of the state equally enjoying economic health and economic recovery, and we know that some areas have lagged behind. And so, for example, the Orleans County area is still, does still have, by our measure, a higher unemployment rate than we would like to see. Windsor County and Springfield, Bellows Falls, Rutland County, in terms of Rutland City, we would like to see those areas have a better rebound and have more people finding good work and finding, you know, jobs with benefits and all of that. So we have some of the same concerns about the area. It's just sort of the scope of what we're looking at. We're looking at it from a very different lens than that report did.
And are you able in the department to look more closely at why men might not be working and whether or not those numbers are including students? Are you able to see those pockets where not just the unemployment rate is higher than the state average, but where you think people are actually looking for work and not finding it in that way?
We have two ways that we can take a look at folks who are filing for unemployment, because those people are in touch with us weekly, and we do a lot of hands-on work with the Vermonters who are unemployed. We also have our regional office structure, which basically works with people who may be underemployed or looking, in transition and looking for other types of work. So, and that we try to get those folks to register with us through the Vermont Job Link system, which gives us a significant amount of data. So really what we're looking for is to make sure that we're following an area where we know layoffs may be coming in an area. So, for example, in the fall, when we know construction is winding up for the year and landscaping is winding up and road construction and the granite industry, we're aware of that. So in areas where we have lots of that kind of employment, we would be reaching out and trying to create jobs or match jobs to the areas that maybe the flip of that, which would be the ski areas, are starting to ramp up, and some of the winter resort areas are starting to ramp up. So what we try to do is keep a close eye on where the jobs are winding down because of the seasonal employment aspect of Vermont. Similarly, we look at the leisure and hospitality and try to watch the trends in that and direct people to the areas where, there's an off-season match for them. If they, for example, are getting done of, waitressing job in Burlington that maybe was connected to the summer tourism season, what we were trying to do is make sure that they know where the other jobs are coming open. So we hear all the time from Vermont employers, we have jobs and we need employees. So our role in the Department of Labor is to work with the Vermont employer community to bring them the job seekers. And I think we're pretty successful at it. But of course, there is the whole issue of, some of the job skill mismatch, which really is sort of the second focus for us, is to make sure that we can look at each person and say, what is it you're missing to basically get you into an employment situation and get them the training they need.
I'm talking to Labor Commissioner Annie Noonan about a New York Times report that showed that in some counties and some specific parts of Vermont, prime-aged men aged 25 to 54 are not working, and we're looking at why that might be and what the full picture of employment is in the state for men of this age. Commissioner Noonan, are there specific industries or professions in Vermont that have shed or even gained a significant number of male employees?
So the shedding would be in construction. I mean, because the construction employment numbers in Vermont have not rebounded as we would have hoped, and that's primarily a male-dominated field. But areas that are and some of the durable manufacturing jobs, again, which would probably be male-dominated positions, have also not come back. But we are seeing growth in areas in manufacturing, just not necessarily durable, but we are seeing manufacturing growth in Vermont. We are seeing healthcare, of course, which is a field that employs both men and women. And we're really, we are seeing a lot of growth in business and professional services. Again, healthcare and manufacturing is doing well in Vermont. It's 11% of our job economy.
Broadly speaking, how are prime-aged women faring in the job force?
They are faring somewhat better than men, and that is to a large extent because of their educational levels. Women in Vermont have better education attainment, and that is generally a success, a recipe for success in the workforce.
Annie Noonan is Vermont's labor commissioner. She's been helping explain some of the figures of who's working in Vermont, and if people aren't working, perhaps why not, and what the Labor Department is trying to do to get those of them who are looking for work employed. Commissioner Noonan, thank you very much for talking with us.
Great. Thanks. Nice to talk to you.
Earlier in the program, we were having a conversation about gas prices, and our guest from GasBuddy.com, Patrick DeHaan, suggested that if a pipeline were built through our region that could carry gasoline here, it might lower the prices significantly, down to some of the rates under $2 that we're seeing in other parts of the country. We asked you what you thought of that. We're starting to get some responses. Charlie says it would be weird if, indeed, a pipeline actually lowered prices. They always say that, but it never does. The question is basically on the same ground as, would you approve the pipeline if 6 unicorns will patrol it daily to watch for leaks? But Danny in Jeffersonville feels differently. He says, absolutely. Lower gas prices and more jobs sounds like a win-win. Go to the Vermont Edition Facebook page to weigh in on that debate yourself. And that does it for today's show. Tomorrow, the number of Vermonters without health insurance continues to fall. We now have the second lowest rate of uninsured in the country. Tomorrow on the program, we'll discuss what that means for healthcare in this state and what happens next. As always, send your questions about health insurance to vermontedition@vpr.net and join the discussion tomorrow at noon. Our program is produced by Patty Daniels, Rick Singeri, and Sage Van Wing, with production assistance from Aaron Lucy. Peter Biello directed the show, and our executive producer is John Van Hoosen. I'm Jane Lindholm. Thanks for listening.